Sorry, Rick.
Okay, can you hear us, Bob and Rez?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Rez, you're muted. Lower left.
Where nope. Can we see him?
Yeah, we can see him. He's muted.
I
lower left.
Him.
We're sharing the other screen right now, just because Jessica's ability.
Rez, did you put it on computer audio?
But he might be muted. Yeah.
Do you hear me now? Do you hear me now?
Yes, yeah, we can.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for your patience. Sorry about that.
We're just going to try to get there. Well, we can't see him. Yeah, no, we need to see
somebody
him.
Else.
We just need to see them.
You want to see them?
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Okay, Rez, can you hear us? We have to unmute your... Okay, there you go. Can you hear us now? Okay,
yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I think we're all set. So thank you for your patience. We had a unfortunate situation that we're going to clean up in the future. So, okay. So thanks for everyone for your patience. But I can ask everyone to stand to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yay. So Terry, do you want to speak now or when you get to, or you don't have to, unless you want to. I mean, when we get to your appointment, then you're more than welcome to address the trustees. Is that what you want, or do you need to talk about something else? Okay, then don't worry about it. No. Yep, not yet. But if you'd like, we can certainly have you come up to the podium and speak if you'd like. Not necessary, but if you like. Okay. So we'll go ahead on to the special presentation.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So I am just going to introduce Mr. Bailey Arnold. He's the program director for Healthy Air Solutions with the American Lung Association. So he'll be doing a little brief presentation on biodiesel.
All right. Thank you for that introduction, Jack, and thank you to the council for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the B20 Club and how we're collaborating. Okay, so a little bit of background about the B20 Club. We were founded in 2014. We are a partnership between the Illinois Soybean Association Checkoff Program and the American Lung Association. So I serve as the program lead for this B20 Club through the American Lung Association, my employer. And essentially what it's focused on is getting fleets such as yours to transition to drop in B20 biodiesel. And we're going to talk a little bit about the benefits that are associated with that. But I just did down and it went the other way. Okay, it's up. Perfect. Okay, so this is some of our membership. You can see that your neighbor, Oak Park, is a member. We've got Cook, Illinois Corporation, that's school busing, ComEd. I think we're all familiar. So basically, I like to show this to show the diversity of our members. We've got everything from municipalities to forest preserves to over-the-road trucking, park districts. We've got fuel haulers, even marine vessels that are operating on biodiesel. And so they operate really anything that you see here on B20 biodiesel, new and old, to basically lower carbon emissions, lower emissions coming out of the tailpipe. One of the reasons that they like to do that is because biodiesel is also safer. So from a transport perspective, it actually has a higher flash point than petroleum diesel. It's non-toxic and biodegradable. And in fact, it poses no health risk at a medium level exposure, which is more than any person would ever be exposed to. So we like to showcase this where there is a biodiesel tanker that unfortunately tipped over. You can see all it did was spill in the environment. The only complaint from first responders was that it was a little slick versus petroleum diesel that you see on the right hand side where it exploded. So it's a lot safer. In fact, it's so safe that you can ship it in the mail without actually having to have any label whatsoever on it. So it's a much safer fuel. Biodiesel in itself is very simple. It's ultimately a modified vegetable oil. This makes it look more complex than it is, but you're basically separating the glycerin from the vegetable oil and creating a fuel that's chemically similar to diesel fuel, but again, is non-toxic and biodegradable. And it's typically blended with petroleum diesel fuel to create a lower carbon blend, which is what the village is currently using. So I mentioned that it's a lower carbon fuel that's recognized by the renewable fuel standard through the EPA. Biodiesel itself provides on average a 74% carbon reduction, and a B20 blend actually provides a 15% carbon reduction. So that's a drop-in blend that you can use overnight. And so that's something that Jack has moved forward with the village fleet. And so now, thanks to your use of 20% biodiesel, you're actually cutting your carbon emissions by 15%. And the reason that that's important is because CO2 remains in the atmosphere for up to 1,000 years, and it's cumulative. We often think about CO2 just on an annual basis, but it continues to build up in the environment over time, as you may know. And so for every 5 years of delay, so in delay in doing something to address that concern, we have to actually reduce 13 times the amount of emissions. So we say by using, you know, fleet technologies and by using cleaner fuels like B20, you're actually having a greater benefit today than waiting for future technologies to become available or affordable. And so this is an example that I put together. It's an over-the-road truck example just to show the difference between ultra-low sulfur diesel or ULSD. I simplified it. So an average, you know, over-the-road truck doing 120,000 miles a year would produce about 223 tons. For simple math, we're just doing 200, 400, 600. So over your third year, you'd have 600 tons of emissions produced. If you were to switch to B20, you're actually in that three-year period going to cut 90 tons and over 10 years cut over 300 tons of emissions just by using this drop-in blend of biodiesel. So it's making a real impact today. It's something that's simple to do. You don't have to change your infrastructure. You don't have to make any upgrades whatsoever. You just make sure your tank's clean, you drop it in, and you go. Not only does biodiesel cut carbon emissions, it also cuts particulate matter emissions, hydrocarbons, as well as air toxics. And mutagenicity is reduced by 20% with a B20 blend. So that's the potential for it to cause cancer. Again, this is all thanks to just a drop-in blend of biodiesel. And the interesting thing is that it's produced right here in Illinois. So we're not going outside of the country. We're not going outside of our state to source this fuel. It's produced right here in Illinois. So we're supporting our economy as well. And so I like to always kind of drive home when we're talking about those emissions, what that benefit really means. So an EPA index of 20 is equivalent to smoking a single cigarette every day versus an EPA index of 200, just like smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day. And I think we all remember 2 years ago now, I guess it's, wow, that's really flown by, how we had the wildfire smoke that was coming into our area. And it was actually compounding with the emission issues that we already face from sources like industry and traffic, transportation. And it compounded the problems to the point where we had unhealthy air in the area where we were actually facing basically smoking half a pack of cigarette equivalent of air pollution. And so that's why making these transitions to cleaner fuels and cleaner technologies is so important today, is to help address our air quality concerns as well. And so we know that this pollution impacts a wide array of our health. It impacts everything from our heart to our lungs. It worsens asthma, leads to more attacks. It can do things like irritate your throat, your eyes, your skin, and it impacts our senior citizens, our children, those with heart disease or lung disease at a higher level because they're breathing it in a lot more, a lot faster, because of genetics, because of age, all of those things go into it. So it's important to do this to help benefit those populations as well as the general population. And so this is where the B20 Club really comes in and shines. So every year I collect usage data from B20 Club members and quantify what those emission reductions result in. So our B20 Club has used just shy of 111 million gallons of B20. That's reduced over 250,000 tons of carbon since 2014 and provided an estimated 25.1 million in health benefits. I'm actually collecting data this year right now, and I can tell you that that number is going to be closer to $30 million. Again, just by using a drop-in fuel, you don't have to change any infrastructure. It's easy to do. And so I just want to thank the village for moving forward. I want to thank Jack for his leadership in this space and moving the River Forest forward. This is really a great benefit for your community. We're really happy to have River Forest as a B20 Club member. And I would love to present the board with a plaque in recognition of your membership.
Oh,
thank
great.
You.
Yeah. You got it? Take it. Yeah. Take it. Oh, I thought maybe it was one of those corns.
Okay. Pretty good. Thank you very much. Awesome. You got to get a picture. Yeah. Wow. It's great.
Thank you all again.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll move on to elected official comments and announcements. So maybe we'll start with Erica. Do you mind?
Yeah, thank you. I'll start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people, stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And that is actually my comments for this evening. Nothing more.
Okay, thanks, Erica. Lisa?
I can go. First thing is, let's make sure to vote next Tuesday, April 1st. Second thing is election sign recycling. After we have our vote, you can recycle both your stakes or the metal, kind of frame, and the plastic signs at Village Hall. Look for social media posts, and I'm hoping we can put it in the weekly newsletter so people know, where to drop those things off. And thirdly, it's not too early to talk about Memorial Day.
Yeah,
it's in 2 months. The Kiwanis of River Forest and Oak Park took over planning and execution of the Memorial Day parade from the Service Club in 2020. They work in partnership with the Park District and the Village of River Forest on the planning, and this year is our 100th anniversary. They could use volunteers, particularly on the day of the event, to set up in the Keystone Park, where we do give away hot dogs, where we have our Grand Marshal give a presentation, to cook and distribute hot dogs or to break down after the event. If you would like to help, you can email KiwanisClubRFOP@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you. Yep. John?
Nothing to add. Thanks.
Katie?
Nothing to add.
I have no comments today. Right. Thank you.
So, Rez, why don't we start?
Yes. I know we congratulated Chief James O'Shea for his retirement, but I'm congratulating him again. I know he retires on April the 30th, so congratulations, Chief O'Shea, and thank you for all your service. But I'm also jumping the gun here a little bit. I know it's coming later in the agenda, but I want to congratulate James Greenwood now for his upcoming appointment. So,
yeah.
Thanks. Okay. That's it.
Thanks. Thanks, Russ. Bob?
A couple of things. I believe Saturday is the fire department blood drive.
Yep.
Correct?
Thursday, I am.
Thursday? Okay. So please give till it hurts. And secondly, a couple of acknowledgments. I thought in our packet tonight, the annual report from the fire department was really informative and well put together. So I want to congratulate the chief and his team for that. An acknowledgement to Jack and the public works department. There was an incident where someone needed a light bulb replaced in an alley, and it turns out it was Commonwealth Edison, and Jack jumped all over and got that done. So the residents of River Commons, thank you for that. And then lastly, a question to Jack. I don't believe we're picking up yard waste yet, and there seems to be a lot of yard waste bags laying around. And I just want to confirm, does that begin on April 1st, Jack?
That is correct. I believe it's April 1st, but also I know we started doing some social media posts, but I'm assuming we're going to be doing more when just informing people of when yard waste starts.
Great. Thank you, Jack. Great job with your team.
Okay, great. Oh, good. Anything else? Okay, great. Just real quick, a couple of things that I did over the last 2 weeks. I hosted a group of Willard School Brownies. It was really really cute. There were second graders, about 15 of them, and they went to the police department, the fire department, and we hosted them right here in our community room, and it was a lot of fun, and I think the girls really enjoyed themselves. I also attended the OPRF Museum Gala, where our very own Laura May Kruk got an award. I'm trying to remember the name of the award, but like the spirit of
Heart of Our Village.
Heart of Our Village. Thank you. Award. And so we're very proud of Laura and her accomplishments. Also, I want to thank Tom Dwyer and Associates for hosting St. Patrick's Day feast for our public safety folks. I know our police, some of our fire folks went over to Tom Dwyer's business, and he fed all of our folks. So for that, we very much appreciate the working with our community. Let's see. And I think, and I just want to reiterate a little bit with what Trustee Gillis said. We are working on having, I hope, a fabulous 100-year anniversary. Memorial Day this year marks our 100th. And you're right, we're working with Kiwanis and the Park District, and it's going to be spectacular. So you're going to see a little bit of dribblings that are going to come out in the newspaper and certainly our newsletter about some of the lineup of some fun that we hope the residents will enjoy. Not just the typical free hot dog, but hopefully a little bit more staying around and celebrating. So that's all I have. So I guess I have asked the trustees move the consent agenda A through E.
I'd like to pull item 6C
okay.
from the consent agenda, okay. agenda, please.
No worries. Okay, A, B, D, and E.
I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A, B, D, and E. Is there an E? A, B, D,
and E. Yep.
E. Okay.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments on those? Hearing none, I would also want to echo what Trustee O'Connell said. The fire department report was excellent. Really gave a good indication of what you guys are all doing. So thank you so much for that. Hopefully we can make it a bigger and include the police and public safety, a public safety brochure. Okay. So we can take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, March 10th, 2025. B, administration department report. D, award of contract 2025 sewer lining project, Innovative Underground LLC, $122,429.50. E, fire department 2024 annual report. Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay. So if I can get a motion to move item 6C in a second.
I move to approve consent agenda item 6C.
Okay, do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Comments?
Do I, do you read it first or do I give my comments first?
No, you give your comments and then we vote.
Gotcha.
He reads it and then we vote.
Okay, so I asked to pull this because this relates to the full restoration and replanting of the bioswales along Chicago Avenue. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask Jack if you could give us a little bit more information about why we need to replant natives. Typically, natives are there permanently and you don't need to replant them.
Yep. So the natives we have in place, they are in okay condition. The native plantings themselves, the issue that we're running into is the way some of it is graded or some of the additional, I guess, just mulch and dirt and silt that's built up. What we're looking to do is a one-time, basically, a little bit of a construction, but it's really more maintenance as well, of the entryway to where the water would go in. We're looking to excavate about 6 to 8 inches, put in riprap, just stone, to create like that surface layer that will be permanent and always there to allow the water to go in easily. What we're running into in some of these situations is there's a buildup of silt, so the water is actually staying on the roadway rather than going into the bioswale. So this is a bit more of an improvement rather than just maintaining the native plantings. What we're looking to do is a larger maintenance to put in that riprap for long-term benefit and use for those bioswales.
Great. Makes sense. Thank you.
Yep.
Okie dokie. So, John, if you would read it and then take it.
Consent agenda item C, grant application, ComEd Green Region Open Lands Grant, Chicago Avenue Bioswales Restoration Project Resolution. Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay, very good. We're moving on to eight. And so we'll take these separately. These are my recommendations to the board for commission appointments to fulfill some of the vacancies that we've had. One is the board and fire police commissioner. So if I can get a motion to approve Foreen Rogers into the board of fire police commissions, and of course, we'll talk more about it.
I just have a question before we ask for the motions. Typically, when we've got requests for approval of board appointments, we get a copy of what their application online looked like, and they didn't see that this time around. So just wondering, is that something that we had, and when did they apply for service?
I don't know the date. Exactly, but it was a recent addition to require a document be submitted. So both resumes or CVs from these two applicants were included in the packet as an attempt to address that. The previous form was very simplistic and there wasn't as much information out there. So that was our new way to kind of address that and see what the qualifications were for applicants.
I think just having both of those things in the future, unless we are do we still have that online portion? Like people still put in?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. They do. Yeah. So we can give
I
it to you.
I think it would
future.
Be just great to have sure. both of them.
Yeah, no worries.
In the Simple. Packet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed. So can I get a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve Foreen Rogers on behalf of the Board of Village Fire and Police Commission.
Second.
Okay. So let me just talk about Foreen a little bit. I mean, she is just an awesome person. You could see her by her resume. She has HR, human resources, which I think is important for this commission because they recruit and hire and fire and discipline our police officers and our firefighters. And so, you know, Julie Jacobs came with a lot of HR experience, and after speaking with her, she felt that that would be a great requirement. And so they both spoke. And, you know, Julie thinks she would be a great fit. And so do I. Of course, her military background is phenomenal. She's just got a great background and I think would be a great fit for the board and Fire and Police Commission. If anybody knows Foreen, but she's also on the board of Thrive, I think. So she's got the mental health angle as well. Okay. So no questions, or I'd ask to take the vote.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then our other vacancy we need to fill is the Police Pension Board.
Sure.
Gary Griffin, so if I can get a motion in a second.
Okay, I move to approve and accept the president's recommendation to appoint Terry Griffin on the Police Pension Board.
Second.
Terry's here with her husband. Terry's got obviously extensive background in banking and just industry trends, which I know if you ask Rosie, that board is big about industry trends and interest rates and things that, you know, the pension has to care about. So I think she'd be a great addition to our commission. So I ask for your approval.
Okay. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Rez, we couldn't hear you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Terry, you're approved. Nothing to say unless, if you want, you can come to the podium. Yes. Sure, please. Why not?
Yes. As Kathy alluded to, I've been in the banking industry for something like 47, 48 years, working for first the Illinois Bankers Association, a statewide organization, and for 24 years now for the Community Bankers Association. So I know the state of Illinois banking issues pretty well. The financial side of it, of course, comes with the job. My title, I'm working now as a consultant in a part-time basis, still working with community banks in the greater Chicago area. So I look forward to serving my community in the capacity that you just voted me into.
Okay.
Thank you for your confidence. Thanks,
thank you,
Kathy.
Thank you, Terry. And thank you. And thank you. You'll be working with Rosie. She, you know, Rosie is our finance director, and she kind of sits on the pension board. We'll be sitting on the pension board with you. So the you guys will connect. Great. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Okay. We'll be moving on to item B, which is the Economic Development Commission. And I know we had a presentation last time regarding this program. So if I can get a motion and a second and talk about more of it, if you like.
Motion to approve the creation of a small business improvement grant program to assist small business owners or property owners located within the Madison Street or North Avenue TIF districts.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Very good. Okay. I think you recall we had this discussion last 2 weeks ago, and I think we had a great conversation. I think it sounds like it's a great program for us. So I don't know if you have any further questions for Jessica. I think you're the point person on this. So hearing no.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Yep.
It's okay. Going through the list, there was one thing on there that I thought we had kind of discussed the fact that we weren't going to use these for maintenance items. And I wanted to have some conversation around that, particularly where we talked about parking lot maintenance and stuff or parking lots. I don't recall who brought it up, but I think this is really intended to improve kind of the look and feel of our businesses, and where I think parking lots do that. I just think, you know, that's kind of an ongoing maintenance issue. And I'd really like to just, if we could, take a second look at that list of what it can be used for and consider maintenance items and remove those.
Hey, Jessica, Bob, this is Jessica.
Yep.
So the commission felt that
the parking lot being included, at least in the beginning, would be helpful because it was about the overall curb appeal, if you will, of the business to potential customers or potential tenants. And so they, I believe the interest of the commission was to have a more broad list of projects that would be allowed, which is why it was considered that parking lot rehab would be allowed, but like roof repairs would not, because that would not be something you would necessarily see. So if you'd like, we can amend the list of eligible projects. And then maybe, I don't know, if I hear about people wanting the parking lot, if they inquire about it, we can consider it again next year.
I'm confused, okay. But you said, Jessica, that the commission thought this was a good idea.
Yes, the commission liked the idea of the parking rehab because they thought that that would, it fell in line with the overall
aesthetics.
Aesthetic. And also like helping the appearance of the front of the business.
Right.
So that's why they wanted it on the list.
I agree with the EDC on that.
Yeah, I think so too.
That resurfacing, striping, putting up new, parts of the parking lot could be very beneficial and are quick ways to, as you say, make the curb appeal better. Yeah. So I'm in favor of keeping it in there.
I think it diminishes the purpose of the program. I think it's a maintenance issue.
Yeah, I think I hear you, but I think if it's supposed to be aesthetics, I don't think the purpose is to maintain the mm-hmm. parking lot, but to make it better, like Erica said, more curb appeal. I tend to agree with the commission too. I think it will give more curb appeal.
Okay, I'd ask Jessica if you just put on your watch list as we go through the first year and let's revisit it.
Yeah, that's a good compromise. Okay, thanks, Bob.
Okay.
All right. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for the comments. Okay, so we're to the spot that's a fun spot here. First of all, we'll need a motion and a second to new business here. This is the appointment of Police Chief James Greenwood, effective May 1st, 2025. So if I can get a motion and a second, and we'll go through the timetable.
I move that we approve the appointment of Police Chief James Greenwood, effective May 1st, 2025.
Second.
Okay, good. Thank you. Well, first of all, we're not done saying goodbye to Chief O'Shea yet. So we're going to have some really grand plans for Chief O'Shea and saying, all the great work that you've done. But now tonight is of the appointment so that we can assure our community and our residents that we do have succession planning. And that's because Chief O'Shea has created a department that allowed us to have great succession planning. So for that, thank you so much, Jim O'Shea. And that is the reason this makes my job and Matt's job real easy, because bringing in the deputy chief and appointing them to the chief is a lot easier than going outside and finding somebody. So we're very happy that we can promote within. That's the goal. It's always been the goal of our community in our department. So thank you, Jim O'Shea, for that. So with that, we've got his parents-in-law and his wife sitting back there. And so thank you for coming and enjoying this with us. Just to give you a little bit background, so before we vote, because I know it's going to be unanimous, but Jim Greenwood began his career with River Forest Department in January 1997, and he served as the patrol officer, detective, patrol sergeant, and patrol commander. Greenwood served as commander for 5 years before being promoted to the deputy police chief in 2023. Greenwood has a Bachelor of Arts in Management from Benedictine University and is currently pursuing a Master's in Public Administration from the great University of Northern Illinois University. Greenwood has received several awards and recognitions in his career, including Officer of the Year and the Franklin Kremel Leadership Award from the Northwestern University School of Police Staff and command. So he's got a great background. So I'd like to ask the clerk to take the vote on this appointment.
Trustee Johnson. Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
As a fellow Benedictine Eagle, I say yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, congratulations. Sure. You'll be have plenty of time on that podium. So get used to it.
Like you will, I'll just keep it short for tonight.
And that's the first rule of the podium. Make sure the mic's on. What I did say was I'll keep it short tonight. I want to express my gratitude to President Ducey and to members of the Village Board for having a confidence in me to serve the River Forest community as the next chief of police. I also want to thank Village Manager Matt Walsh and the management team for their support. I want to thank Chief O'Shea for his mentorship and guidance while we've worked together all these years. I also extend my gratitude to all the men and women, past and present, of the River Forest Police Department that make the department a great place when we are at our home away from home, where coworkers are more like family than friends. To the River Forest community, I want to express how deeply honored and appreciative I am for this opportunity. Of course, none of this would be possible without the support of my family. Their love and patience provide me with my foundation. Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. So we'll have an oath, right? We'll take the oath in May. So we'll have an official oath-taking for the appointment. So we welcome you all back. So, and at that time, we'll take pictures. He'll be in his uniform, right, Jim? His official chief uniform. Do it all up, and we'll welcome the family back, if you don't mind, because it's a great honor to have them be part of River Forest. Yeah, so thank you. All right. I think that concludes our, we're going to go into executive session. That concludes our regular scheduled meeting. So if I can get a motion to move into executive session.
Motion to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C6 to discuss the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the public body, and the Village Board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Yep, that's perfect. Yep.
Second.
Thank you. All right, we'll just take a brief break and then we'll come back.
We need to vote. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.